In our studio today, speaking of Chicago, he's not here as much as he used to be, is the author Geno Caldwell, whose book Taken for Granted, How Conservatism Can Win Back the Americans That Liberalism Failed. By the way, he's also a Fox News political analyst, as well as an author of this book. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you for having me.
How often do you get back home?
Typically once a quarter. So it's somewhat frequently, but not as much as I used to.
You got a place in L.A., you got a place in Washington, D.C.
Correct.
Your family is still here.
Mostly, yes.
Your little brother's in our studio.
Well, he's also my assistant, so he's getting paid, so he's my assistant.
How much is he paying you? Is the money good? Okay, he's nodding.
Yeah.
You tell me the truth later.
No, it's very true. You got to get him working young and show some personal responsibility. I think that's all important versus giving them money. You have to earn it, and I think that's very important.
Well, that's your narrative, that's your politics, that's your belief system.
Absolutely.
But let's just talk a little bit about you.
Yeah.
Tell me about your growing up. You grew up on the South Side.
Grew up on the South Side of Chicago.
Right away. I mean, the very first page of your book, you talk about your mom. Tell me about that.
So I grew up on the South Side of Chicago, extremely poor, lights, gas, and water off at the same time. Mom addicted to crack cocaine. And
Is your father in the scene?
Father is there. Father, I see him on the weekends. And part of the reason I got involved in politics, which is at 14, I was riding through an area of Chicago called Inglewood, as you know, one of the hardest hit areas in terms of the drugs and violence. And I see a lady who looked drugged up and beat down, and I just knew it was my mother. And I begin to tear up. And my grandfather, in his very southern voice, says to me, "What's wrong with you, boy?" And I say, "This lady." At that point, I realized it wasn't her, but it certainly could have been. I said, "What can I do to prevent this from happening?" And he begins to tell me about the elected officials, the power they have to create stricter penalties for those who sell and distribute drugs, and how they can provide grant funding for those who want to be rehabilitated. So I said I wanted to be an elected official, and the next week I started volunteering for my local alderman.
This is at the age of 14?
That was 14.
What school were you in at the time?
Simeon.
Were your parents, when your mom wasn't strung out or when you were with your dad, did they encourage education, reading, those sorts of things?
Yeah, I think there was an encouragement. My dad, he was never involved in the life, thankfully. And to a great degree, my grandfather on my dad's side was my saving grace.
How many siblings do you have?
There's 9 of us.
9?
9 total.
It's interesting because the social network of programs that Democrats champion kept your family alive, right?
Here's the thing. When we're talking about these safety nets, and I'm all for temporal safety nets. Temporary, you get in, not for generations. And I think that's where I differ with people on. It's great to give someone aid, but you want to set them up for success, not failure. And what I've seen time and time again with Democrats in these programs that they continuously push, it's not about victorhood, it's about victimhood. We want to keep you on these programs, and the moment you ever decide that you want to step out just a little bit, you may want to go get a job for the first time and try,
yeah,
then you're penalized. You're removed off the program immediately, so you're not set up for success, you're set up for failure.
You know who talks a little bit like this is Pastor Corey Brooks on the South Side as well. I mean, he famously supported Rauner in the last campaign, and it was just kind of an eye-opener to some people because he was espousing the very conservative issues that you are preaching as well and that you do on Fox News.
Yeah, we were actually on a show together with Laura Ingraham program on Chicago violence just a couple few months back.
I saw some clips from that, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. So you obviously survived the South Side as well. I mean, for a young black man on the South Side, that's not so easy to do, is it?
Well, let's talk about the peer numbers. In 2016, if you were an African-American male in the city of Chicago between the ages of 20 and 24, 47% of you were unemployed or out of school. We think about the fact that over 2,400 people have been shot to date. We think about my little brother, not this one that's in studio, but my other little brother was in a car with two of his friends during Memorial Day weekend 2017 when two men walked up and shot the car 25 times. He lived, thankfully, and we thank God for that every day, but his best friend died in his arms. The stories go on and on and on. And, you know, for a lot of folks that come from Chicago, they understand that they get out the true value of life, I think, because for a lot of folks, if you make it out, you really made it.
So when you had that conversation with your grandfather, you're 14 years old, and that was your epiphany. That was the moment that you said, I'm going to get into politics someday if I want to execute change.
And that was the very next week that I got involved.
Did you right away say, I want to be a conservative?
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. What I learned growing up, and I write about this in my book, Taken for Granted. What I learned growing up is, well, if you're a Republican, no matter who you are, you're a racist. That's what I was taught.
That's what they told you on the South Side.
Yeah, but that's what a lot of people believe, though. Like, that's simply true. And I think that's true for a lot of people. That's what they're taught.
Not that's what
true
they believe.
That that's the
yeah,
case, because that's certainly not the case.
Right.
So, you know, learning about that distracts you from ever learning the intricacies and the distinctions between the parties. Because why would you ever want to learn anything about being a Republican if people consider them to be racist?
So you well and many of the marquee politicians from the South Side are Barack Obama or just are the Jacksons. I mean, those are Democrats. So I could see a person leaning Democrat just because it's in the water.
It's fair. Yeah, it's fair. And again, the way they've talked about Republicans as I was growing up, they said Republicans was the party of slavery, which isn't true. It's the very opposite. Republicans were the party of Jim Crow, which isn't true. It's the very opposite.
What kind of student were you in high school?
When you say what kind? I was an excellent student. I'm an excellent student of life. Right now, I'm learning.
You get good grades?
Yeah, I got grades. I got good grades, C's, B's. I wasn't an A-plus student. I can't lie and say that.
You graduate from Simeon.
I came
out of Chicago State, right?
Chicago State.
Yeah. What was your major there?
Psychology, BS in psychology.
Still interested in politics as you're going through
college? I stayed involved in politics. I never left. You got to keep in mind, the reason why I chose politics was because due to my grandfather saying, hey, this is how you can change. The catalyst for me joining politics was my mom. I thought I was literally saving her. So if I can get involved and understand this vehicle of politics, I can help her get out of this addiction that she's in. That was the reason.
You were an intern for a politician, right?
Correct. I've interned for a number of politicians. So I started volunteering for somebody by the name of Alderman Fredrina Lyle. She was a 6th Ward Alderman. Now she's Judge Lyle. And from then, from there, I went on to be an intern for the Social Security Administration right at 600 West Madison, down the street from here. And I worked that job 25 hours a week, 40 hours in the summers and winters, graduated high school, got a full-time permanent role with that agency, went to college at night, and I stayed involved in politics and worked numerous roles in government, leading me to all the way to Washington, D.C.
You know, you got a good heart, you're ambitious, you're intelligent,
thank you. I appreciate that.
And you're
sincerely
doing the hard work. And I think when people think of the young men on the South and West Side, your voice and that image don't come to mind. And I'm sure that there's plenty of young men and women like you there. Of course there are,
yeah.
Right? And what a shame it is to see, I'm just making a statement here. I don't know if I'm going to have a question here for you. But what a shame for those neighborhoods and Chicago to see those resources that these young people are not be realized.
Yeah.
Or for those lives to end too young.
You know what? And this is something that I often say, and I write this in my book, Taken for Granted. The most potential, I believe, in this country is right in Chicago. The most potential. But you know where it is? It's in the graveyard.
Yeah.
And it's upsetting. I mean, it's something that you can legitimately tear up about, because there's so many people who can say, I have a family member that's been shot, or I can't go outside because I might be shot. Or what President Trump said in 2016 when he said you can walk down the street in Chicago and get shot, and everybody got all in an outrage. That's not true. That's not true. He's a racist for making that statement when it is a simple fact.
It was your fact. It was your simple truth. It's not the truth. I think here's my problem with that. And when the president did this in town last time, I took exception to it, too. That is true in too many neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
It is not true in mine. I live in the city as well.
Where do you live?
Lakeview. I live up by Wrigley Field.
Okay.
It's not perfect, but it's a lot safer than Englewood.
No, it's 100% a lot safer. But you can literally still walk down the street in Lakeview and be shot. I remember I lived 200 North Dearborn.
It happened 2 weeks ago.
Okay, so there you go. I lived 200 North Dearborn, and when I moved there in about 2011, somebody literally got shot right on State Street Bridge. It can happen.
So let's pause. Come back and then tell me what tipped you then. If you're still feeling your way politically, you're activated and you're educated,
yeah.
But what makes you the kind of political commentator that you are? And what do you say in your book, Taken for Granted, How Conservatism Can Win Back the Americans That Liberalism Failed? It's a brand new hardback. Gianno Caldwell, back in Chicago on WGN. Taken for Granted. The latest hardback out by our guest. His first book, actually, right, Gianno?
That's correct.
And it's Gianno or Gianno?
Gianno.
It sounds Italian. Does your family have Italian background at all?
No, they just did me well with my name.
Caldwell's in our studio. It's subtitled How Conservatism Can Win Back the Americans That Liberalism Failed. He's a Southside kid, works in Washington, D.C. now. He's got his own firm, this book, and you often see him weekly on Fox News. He's been quoted elsewhere. He is a conservative political commentator. So when did you go from your educated, motivated background to a conservative person?
Well, when you say that, it almost like a distinction, like you were educated and motivated.
How could that happen?
Now you're a conservative, so you're none of the two.
I didn't mean it that way. But I get paid
to listen and hear what people say and draw distinctions immediately.
You're not drawn from the cloth that most of the people I see on Fox News are.
That's correct.
That's what I meant.
No, I appreciate that. So, you know, I was having a conversation, a debate with an African-American fellow on the streets of Chicago one day, an older gentleman. He was a Democrat. And I was pontificating on things about the Republican Party, the same things that I told you earlier from what I learned growing up. They're racist. They don't care about poor people, black people, etc. He challenged me on my views. He pushed back and he pushed back hard. And he was saying things that I'd never heard before. And I thought, OK, you may not be accurate. So he was saying things like, you know, most black folks were conservative Republicans. Never heard that before. He was saying things like Republicans weren't the party of Jim Crow or slavery. Never heard that before. Then he said something where I knew he was lying to me. He was simply trying to bamboozle me. He said that MLK was once a Republican. I said, what? Now I know you're lying. It's officially you're a liar. Basically, I didn't say that to him because I'm respectful of my elders. But at that point, whenever I'm challenged and I don't have the facts to respond properly, I go research so I can have a stronger argument for later. And what I did is went to Google and simply put in differences between Democrats and Republicans. And I found out this man wasn't lying to me. The Republican Party was started in 1854 in opposition to the Kansas-Nebraska Act, which wanted to expand slavery. How every civil rights bill there has been, including LBJ's 1964 Civil Rights Act, would not have passed had it not been for Republicans, because the Senate Democrats didn't want to support it. So this was a new narrative for me. And I saw the ideology of a conservative, religious freedom. I come from a very religious background. Grandfather, small business owner, plumbing construction. These were things that resonated with me immediately. Then from that point, after I realized that I had the conservative leanings, it was months of depression. How could I be one of these people?
Is your family conservative or are they liberal? Are they Democrats or Republicans?
Well, they're not conservative. They are Democrats for the most part.
Is the problem with that question or this part of the conversation? Let's take race out of it for a second. I think nobody has a problem with conservative politics.
Tell Elizabeth Warren that.
I'll finish my thought.
Okay.
Financially, I think a lot of Americans, if they wanted to elect a politician, would pick somebody maybe who has social views that are more like Democrats, but most of us would prefer a conservative hand with our national money, with our federal debt, with our federal spending. I think the problem for Republicans right now is that Donald Trump is the head of the party, and that's a circus. If you're a conservative, I think you're in the same room as Donald Trump, and that, I think, complicates your message considerably. Do you agree with that?
So this is what I'll say. And first, to your first point, in terms of everyone wants a conservative in charge of their money, so to speak, that's not true for Illinois. You see pension crisis out of order.
We take one now. I mean, literally, I don't think that's a point worth arguing.
Okay.
I think
we'll most of us,
would,
we'll
I think most of us would prefer that somebody conservatively handled the spending.
Yeah, that would be nice. But we haven't seen that in Illinois and especially in Chicago. But moving on. We'll move on. Here's the thing. And we talk about Donald Trump. I'm not here to defend Donald Trump. By no means of the imagination. Donald Trump has endorsed my book. Him and Colter, Ben Shapiro, Newt Gingrich, Brian Kilmeade of Fox and Friends, KKL James, the president of Heritage, many other big conservatives on the back of that book. Got it. Understood. President Donald Trump is a very unorthodox president. 100%. I do not agree with his behavior on Twitter and some of the things he says. I will not defend it. And as you know from my book where I talk about Charlottesville, I came out at him very hard about his comments. And I have in other times on television.
You consulted with the White House at that time, in fact.
Well, yeah. Actually, I called them and on the day that he gave the speech, you know, there's good people on both sides. I called him that morning and I told the person that I spoke with, listen, what he the statement he put out during that Saturday on that white nationalist rally wasn't good enough. What he's put out since then wasn't good enough. He needs to get it in front of the cameras today and speak from his heart and talk to the American people and bring us together. That's what I said.
So I think the question that lingers over that is, could this president say or do something that would cause you to break with him? I'm a Republican and I'm a conservative. Those are very good, valuable things for a governing body. Endorsing Donald Trump or standing with Donald Trump complicates the good that conservatives want to do.
Let me finish my point on that. I'm not here to defend him, et cetera. I said all that. But at the same time, this president has been the most impactful president for African Americans from a policy standpoint in my lifetime and any other president that
Why do you say that?
We're talking about in 2 to 3 years he's been president. We got the First Step Act, thousands of people released from jail, 90% of them being black, reversing some of the draconian effects of the 94 crime bill pushed by both Clintons and Joe Biden, which created the mass incarceration generation for black folks and took fathers out the home. You talk about jail reform, opportunity zones, almost 9,000 of those in marginalized zip codes, mostly African American. You can talk about the lowest unemployment rate for African Americans, and people often say things like, oh, well, that started with Obama. That's a lie.
No, it's not. It's true.
It is a lie. I'll tell you this. 2008.
You look at the graph. Okay, it goes straight down. Donald Trump carried the ball across the goal line. Let me finish this.
We're talking about a drop. What happened? 2008, we had a recession. There was a stimulus that went out. Some things happened incrementally, but the economy was going to come back. I'm talking about a gigantic jump. That didn't come from Obama. That came because President Trump came into office immediately deregulating the economy. That was the benefit of that.
If that was the only... I don't have time to disagree with you on this too much, and I wish I could show our audience the charts and the graphs that show where unemployment was.
Well, we can continue talking on social media at Gianno Caldwell, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Oh, you're good. But it's also the problem that the spending that we are doing without collecting the taxes to cover it, really, I was just reading about that again last night. I don't think that topic gets enough attention.
Well, I talk about that in my book, Taken for Granted, How Conservatism Can Win Back the Americans That Liberalism Failed. It's certainly a need to have our spending in check, but you also got to understand that we have an expanding economy. Look at our GDP. It's going up. That's something that a lot of people don't take into the calculus.
Hasn't happened yet, has it?
What, in terms of what?
The revenue that's supposed to throw off covering the debt. I mean, if we are going to give businesses
breaks by net taxes. Yeah, but we're forecasting out 10 years, though. That's the point. Okay. Like, they forecast out 10
I hope
10
so.
Years in economics.
I hope so. We're out of time. The book is called...
Taken for Granted, How Conservatism Can Win Back the Americans That Liberalism Failed by Gianno Caldwell. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And I want to encourage everybody to follow me on social media at Gianno Caldwell, G-I-A. NNL Caldwell, C-A-L-D-W-E-L-L, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Thank you.
I normally take a break right here. My producer just said, no, you've got 2 more minutes.
2 more minutes. I'm ready to talk.
Are you working with the administration at all? Are you advising them personally?
No, actually, after Charlottesville, I hadn't been working with the administration on anything.
I wonder, as a conservative, if I may, here's where I was going with that. Which of the Democrat candidates do you think would give Donald Trump the most trouble at the election?
You know what? Joe Biden has always been the figure to come up. You talk about African Americans have 90%+ within the Democratic Party. That's how they vote. And if you get a lot of black folks to come out, then Donald Trump's in trouble. However, Joe Biden was behind the reason a lot of fathers aren't in the home and the reason a lot of people are in jail right now. So if folks really want to have a message about what his actions did as the head of the Judiciary Committee and someone who really ushered that bill through, then he'll have a problem, because young African Americans are looking at this kind of thing. I know the older folks, they'll vote for him because he's Joe Biden, President Obama's guy. Well, we guess he's still his guy. We don't know. But he will have a problem with that because young folks are paying attention to the draconian effects of that bill.
What do you think of Mayor Pete?
I don't think much of him. Yeah, he's doing well in Iowa right now. But if you're polling a zero with black folks, you lost.
Is that true? Do you think that
that's absolutely true?
His numbers would be so bad, he just can't get over that fact.
I mean, it's tough. I mean, South Carolina is the telltale for a lot of folks.
Is that because he's gay?
Well, I'll be honest with you. That's twofold. One, black folks don't know him. And two, there has been...
They know he's gay, right?
There's been a lot of folks, including a Democrat from South Carolina, a congressman. I can't think of his name right now. But yes, he said that older African Americans, especially in the South, have a problem with a gay person being president. And I understand that.
Yeah. Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren.
I mean, they're not really registering like that.
No, I don't mean that way. I'm just trying to think of who else besides Joe Biden would give Donald Trump the best run for his money.
I mean, Kamala Harris could be an interesting VP candidate, but not for president. The person that I think would legitimately give Donald Trump a run for his money and would probably win is Michelle Obama. That's the only person in the Democratic Party. I'm being honest. Yeah. That's the only person in the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
Maybe Hillary Clinton could give him a run for his money. What do you think? She should get around, too, because all these people
are
pressuring her.
You're being serious about that?
No, I'm not being serious. She said everybody's pressuring her to jump in. They just want me.
Taking for granted how conservatism can win back the Americans that liberalism failed. From the South Side to Washington, D.C., John O'Caldwell, you see him on Fox News. Thanks for coming into WGN Radio.
Thank you for having me, sincerely. I feel so honored and blessed to be able to share this time. Thank you.
Interesting conversation. It's